Hello and welcome to the Regarding ID podcast. I'm Ryan Klein, and this week we are going to talk a little bit about online identity and how, what you can do to protect it. In our last edition of Regarding ID magazine, editor Zach Martin examined this and really found, you know, a lot of holes in what sites are doing and how verification actually happens. So I'm glad to have with me Zach today to go in a little more depth about it.
Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it.
So first off, you know, what's it going to take to make, you know, stronger authentication the standard?
I think it's going to take legislation, most likely federal legislation, because there's no way the sites are going to do it themselves. There have been tragedies. There have been instances of things going wrong online with these social networking sites, but until there's some legislation passed, the sites really aren't going to focus on it. It's not going to be a priority for them because they're not going to want to spend the money.
Mm-hmm. And what about minors? Minors are so hard to verify because they don't have some of the things that you could possibly call upon if you were over 18. I mean, do you think there's any future in getting minors authenticated?
Eventually there will be some sort of solution. What that solution is going to be is hard to say right now. In the story, I talked to some folks at the Liberty Alliance who mentioned kind of this tiers of trust model where the parent would be the one to go online and confirm, yes, this is Julie Smith, she's my 14-year-old daughter, and that would put it at, you know, that would make it so that that person has some idea of a trusted identity, but still wouldn't completely authenticate them as who they say they're going to be.
So then, how would that make, you know, just you could get somebody else to say that, yeah, you're Joe Smith, couldn't you, though?
The way the parent would get authenticated is through public records.
Okay.
Most of the systems that are out there that could be used to authenticate someone in an online environment right now use public databases, driver's license databases, tax records, that sort of thing. Like, if I wanted to apply for a loan right now online, I would most likely have to answer some questions about my, you know, previous addresses I've lived at or my last purchases I've made on credit cards, that sort of thing. That would authenticate me as saying it's who I am. I am who I say I am.
And so that's
what would have to happen.
That's how adults would be authenticated in one of these models.
So parents would have to go through that process, and then they would be able to go on and say, yes, I'm Joe Smith. This is my daughter, Julie. She's 14 years old, and I want to sign her up for MySpace.
Hmm. Now, from the article, it kind of felt like a lot of the social networking sites didn't want to barrage people that were trying to get online with a whole ton of questions because it'll, you know, keep them away. But do you think that it's more the amount of questions, or do you think it's maybe the more personal questions that people are afraid of?
I think it's a combination of the two. I think you don't want to sign up for a site where you have to answer a million questions or fill in a million fields right off the bat. I know personally, if I have to sign up for something online and they take me through page after page of questions, I'm going to, you know, say screw it and go, you know, opt out and go to a different page or find my information some other way. But it's also the personal, the nature of the information as well. And it depends on what you're signing up for. If you're signing up for MySpace, well, and right now there's a mentality out there that people don't feel that they have to give up this information. They feel that they should be able to go online and be whoever they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, it's going to take a change in mindset to get these systems out there to where people are accepting them.
So do you get the sense that people really think that this is a lot to do about nothing and that they like being anonymous online and like having that, you know, layer of separation and that they can do whatever they want online?
That's how I think adults feel that way. But when it comes to the kids, when it comes to, you know, 14, 15, 16-year-olds, and what's going on out there with these sites, they mm-hmm. want some accountability. Megan Meyer was a teenager in a St. Louis suburb who committed suicide after a problem with MySpace. She was chatting with the boy, and the boy told her that, you know, she didn't think she was a good person, and she ended up killing herself. It turns out the profile actually belonged to a neighbor down the street who was pretending to be this boy, and was trying to get information about what Megan was saying about her kid. So, you know, we need to stop this stuff from happening. And how you do that, I'm not exactly sure. Like, the technology to authenticate these kids is not out there, but something needs to be done to prevent things like this from happening. Now, the Megan Meyer case is an extreme example, but there are plenty of other, you know, cases that happen almost every day that that could be prevented if you had something in place to have people prove they are who they say they are.
Right. And for that case, I think I actually saw this morning some more news about it and saying that possibly criminal charges could be in line if you know, the investigation goes that way.
So. That's true. You know, this is kind of uncharted territory, so it's hard to say whether, you know, the law enforcement officials are trying to figure out exactly what they could charge somebody with for this. That, you know, it's only a matter of time before we start seeing legislation out there proposed that can punish people for signing up and misidentifying themselves online.
And you know, back to, you know, who is to pay for the authentication. In the article, you talked about eHarmony having a badge that you can buy to show that you're authenticated and you're really who you are. But does it almost appear that this is, you know, corporate America saying, forget every single person that, you know, is coming to my site, and instead they're not being, you know, a good citizen in paying the little extra to make sure that things like this don't happen?
It depends on who you think should be responsible for paying for this. eHarmony definitely took an interesting tack by having people pay, I think it was a $5.95, you know, for the further authentication. But I believe most people think that should be the site that carries the burden of authenticating these individuals. Hmm. You know, true, it's going to cost money. And, you know, I think one of the sites said it'll cost 30 cents to authenticate somebody.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
But when it comes to hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, that's going to add up pretty quickly. But at the same time, while the price might be prohibitive right now, I got a feeling the price is going to come down. Like, I'm sure if MySpace went to one of these vendors and said, yeah, I want to try to authenticate my 3 million members, they'd probably cut them a deal of some sort.
Right. So it seems like this is, you know, new territory, and you know what's to come is really, you know, nothing that we can predict per se. But do you think that something is going to come and actually happen personally, or I mean, what do you think?
Sadly, it's going to probably take more tragedies like what happened with Megan Meyer, and even things that we can't even think of are going to happen before these sites are forced to authenticate the identities of the people. I don't know what's going to happen, but there's going to have to be some sort of tragedy that happens that's going to really kind of shake these companies and make them wake up and determine that they have to do something to authenticate the identities of the individuals using the sites.
Yeah, so I guess for the time being, then, we have, you know, three kind of options almost. It seems like things stay the same, and it's, you know, buyer beware, user beware. Or number two, you have the industry voluntarily is going to, you know, start authenticating user. Or number three, which might be the most logical, is that the government's going to step in and legislatively, you know, fix the problem.
So, I would say that's correct, yes. I think we might start seeing sites start to take more of an active role and try to authenticate individuals, but until I think there's some legislation passed, I don't see it happening. Even, you know, I had a MySpace spokesperson on the phone for about 30 seconds, and she told me that they didn't think there was a technology out there to do what they needed to do. Hmm. So it's going to take some. So in that respect, it's going to take some innovation on the part of the vendors to try and come up with a solution to identify minors.
All right. Well, thank you so much for, you know, going in a little deeper and giving us a little bit of your own thoughts about the online authentication and social networking sites.
Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it.